Series, a podcast for lawyers, law students, and the legal community that offers tips and tools on how to cope with student debt while working in public service. I'm Heather Jarvis, Senior Program Manager for Equal Justice Works. Equal Justice Works provides this information for educational and informational purposes only, and it is not intended and should not be construed as legal advice. This series is a joint effort of Equal Justice Works and American University's Washington College of Law. For more information on anything in this series, visit www.equaljusticeworks.org or www.wcl.american.edu.
Welcome to the first installment of the Student Debt Relief podcast series, How to Figure Out If You Can Benefit from College Cost Reduction and Access Act and How Much. I'm Ezra Rosser, professor at Washington College of Law and author of the Poverty Law Prof blog. I'm also a member of the Equal Justice Works National Advisory Committee. For more information on anything discussed during this session, please visit www.equaljusticeworks.org. I'm here with Heather Jarvis, a national expert on educational debt and senior program manager for Equal Justice Works. She currently serves as vice chair of the ABA section of Legal Education's Committee on Government Relations and Student Financial Aid. Welcome, Heather.
Hi, Ezra.
Hi. Before we get started, I just wanted to ask you what made you interested in working with Equal Justice Works in the first place?
Well, I've always been committed to public interest law, and I think I probably started my expertise on student debt when I borrowed $125,000 to pay for my legal education at Duke University School of Law. And I've been a career public interest attorney. My first job paid only $25,000 out of law school, so I know what it is to have high student debt and low public interest salary.
Great. And if you had to say one thing that's the best part about your current job, what would it be?
Well, I am actually really thrilled about the College Cost Reduction and Access Act and the Public Service Loan Forgiveness provisions, because I am able for the first time in my career to bring really good news to people who have borrowed a lot of money for their educations and who want to do public service work. So I love going and talking to students about this new program.
Great. And so what do we need to know about the College Cost Reduction and Access Act?
Well, basically, Ezra, this legislation has two provisions that are important to people with high debt that want to do public service. One is the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, and the other is a new repayment program called Income-Based Repayment.
And what is the Public Service Loan Forgiveness?
Well, it's a brand new federal program, and the way it works is that the balance of the principal and interest on eligible federal direct student loans is canceled by the federal government after a borrower makes 120 qualifying loan payments. That's once a month for 10 years. After the borrower makes 120 qualifying loan payments, while they're working in a full-time public service position, then the federal government cancels and erases their remaining student debt.
Great. And can you give us an example of how much someone could benefit from this program?
Well, recent graduates with high student debt may be able to benefit quite a lot. One example I like to give people is that, say, for example, someone owes $100,000 in eligible debt, and that is not at all uncommon for a typical law graduate. And let's assume that they started out earning $40,000 a year, which is also a pretty reasonable guess for what someone might make in their first public interest law position. If we assume that they get steady sort of modest annual increases over time, after the course of making payments for 10 years on their student loans, they could have almost $123,000 of debt forgiven by the federal government. And that is very good news, Ezra. If this loan had been on the books, or rather this program had been on the books when I graduated, I would be at this point having this kind of forgiveness, and I can tell you I would be pretty thrilled.
Great. And what is the income-based repayment? What does that mean?
Well, income-based repayment is a new option that Congress has established for student loan borrowers. And what it does does is it caps the amount that anyone is required to pay on a monthly basis on their student loans. So Congress has essentially decided that people should only be required to pay a certain percentage of their discretionary income towards their student debt.
Great. And is everyone eligible to choose income-based repayment?
Not everyone is eligible to choose income-based repayment, but the majority of law graduates with typical debt loads would easily qualify for income-based repayment, and many other people will as well. In order to be eligible to choose this new income-based repayment plan, you have to demonstrate what's called a partial financial hardship. But a sort of simple rule of thumb that I like to use is that if you owe more than you earn in your first job, you are very likely to qualify for income-based repayment. So, you know, in the example of our public service lawyer making $40,000 to start, as long as that person owed around $40,000 in student loans, they would easily qualify for income-based repayment. And, of course, we know most law graduates owe closer to $100,000.
Great. So what happens, though, if a person is married? How is their spouse's income taken into account?
Well, this is actually a really important point. So people that are married should be certain to do some additional research and go to the Equal Justice Works website to get some specific information. But I'll tell you, the general rule is that if a person files their taxes jointly with their spouse, which is typically the way most of us married people do, they will have their income added to their spouse's income for purposes of calculating their payment under income-based repayment. So that can have a pretty big negative impact on married people. So married folks will want to seriously consider filing separate tax returns. Now, there are some disadvantages to doing that, like, for example, paying at a slightly higher tax rate, forgoing certain credits and deductions, and it's going to be a complicated decision for people to make. We're hopeful that there may be some change in the law in the future that would make that easier for people. But right now, I'd just like to caution married people that they will need to really think through their tax filing and how that might affect their student loan payments and the potential for public service loan forgiveness.
Great. And what is the qualifying public service employment? What does that mean?
Well, it's what's great about the statute, among other things, is that the public service employment is very broadly defined. So as long as a person is working for the government or for a 501c3 nonprofit organization or for certain other listed professions, that counts as qualifying public service employment for purposes of this loan forgiveness. And, you know, the majority of folks that consider themselves to be in public service or in the public sector are either working for a state, local, federal, tribal government of some sort. That would include, you know, prosecutors, defenders, attorneys general, or they are working for a nonprofit organization like a legal aid society or doing, you know, civil legal assistance for the poor at a 501c3 nonprofit. The kind of big group of folks, or not so big, but the group of folks that may not be in qualifying employment would be people working, say, for trade unions or for lobbying organizations, because those are 501c4s and not 501c3s.
Great. And when you're doing all of that work, you need to be working full-time. So what counts as full-time?
Well, the regulations define full-time pretty specifically, but it essentially amounts to 30 hours a week on average over the course of a year. So it's not a very hefty requirement in terms of lots and lots of hours, and the regulations also set out that teachers and others who work part of the year are still eligible as full-time employees as long as their work averages 30 hours during the time that they are working. But the key to take away from that, Ezra, is that part-time work doesn't count.
Okay. And which loans are eligible for public service loan forgiveness?
Well, this is probably the most important thing that we can communicate to people that are interested in this program, is that only federal direct loans are eligible for public service loan forgiveness. And let me explain that a little bit more, because most people probably know that they borrowed, say, Stafford loans for their education. They likely also borrowed Grad Plus loans. Some people may have Perkins loans. And all of those loans, they could have borrowed from major federal student loan programs. One is what's called the FFEL program, or the Federal Family Education Loan Program, and the second is the Federal Direct Loan Program. Now, students don't get to decide from which program they borrow their Stafford loans. The school decides that for you. But what people must understand is that if they have FFEL loans, they will need to consolidate those loans into the Federal Direct Program in order for those loans to be eligible for public service loan forgiveness. And they can do that. The statute gives them the right to do that, but they must do that if they want to be eligible for public service loan forgiveness.
Great. And so what other sorts of loans are not eligible?
Well, there are some parent plus loans, which are those are the kinds of loans that some people's parents borrowed on their behalf generally when they were in undergraduate school, or that parents may have borrowed on behalf of their dependent children. Parent plus loans are not eligible, and people should be careful not to consolidate those in with other eligible debt. Also, as I mentioned, the loans, even Stafford loans that are with a FFEL lender, for example, Sallie Mae or Access Group, those loans are not eligible until they are reconsolidated into Federal Direct. So they can become eligible, not start out eligible. And I also want to mention, when we're talking about loans, I want to caution people about their Perkins loans, because Perkins loans are eligible for public service loan forgiveness. But they have their own cancellation provisions, and so folks should be careful about consolidating their Perkins loans. They may be able to get cancellations more quickly through the Perkins cancellation than through the public service loan forgiveness, so they should do a little research and figure that out.
Great. And I know, like most people, I wasn't sure what type of loans I had when I graduated. If I was trying to figure out what sort of loans I had, how could I do so?
Yeah, well, you're definitely not alone. Most of us didn't know what kind of loans we had, or even if we did know at one point, we don't necessarily continue recalling that over time. But what people ought to do is go to the National Student Loan Data System. And what I would recommend is that people start by going to the Equal Justice Works website and downloading the checklist for public service loan forgiveness. The checklist is something that I've created for people to sort of walk them through the steps of figuring out what kind of loans they have, figuring out whether their employment is eligible, which loans are and aren't eligible, and taking the steps they need to take to qualify for public service loan forgiveness. And the URL for the National Student Loan Data System is on the checklist, and that's really the first place for people to go. This is a database that the United States Department of Education runs, and it will list every federally guaranteed student loan you have, whether it's with a FFEL lender or whether it's with Federal Direct. And people need to know whether they're with FFEL or Federal Direct because why, Ezra? Because only Federal Direct student loans are eligible for public service employment.
Great. And you said, going back, you said that a person must make 120 qualifying loan payments. What is a qualifying, or what counts as a qualifying loan payment?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, because not only do you have to get your eligible loans into the Federal Direct Program, but you have to choose the right repayment plan. And this gets a little tricky. The ones that count are the Income Contingent Repayment Plan, which is a plan that's available to everyone right now, and also the Income-Based Repayment Plan, which is the one we talked about at the beginning of this conversation. But the Income-Based Repayment Plan does not become available for people until July 2009. So if people want to be making qualifying loan payments now and earning their loan forgiveness, they will need to choose income contingent repayment rather than income-based repayment, and then switch to income-based repayment.
So what is not a qualifying loan payment?
Well, this is probably the second most important thing I have to convey, because this is where mistakes can easily be made. And what doesn't count as a qualifying loan payment is the repayment plan that most of us choose, and that's an extended term of repayment. So let me me give an example. If we're talking about someone who owes, say, $100,000 in student debt, this person would likely not be able to choose a standard 10-year repayment term because their monthly payments would just be way too high, and they wouldn't be able to afford that. So what we've all done in the past is we've chosen these extended terms of repayment, and we're offered terms of 15, 25, often 30 years to repay our student loans because our debt is so high. But people that want to qualify for public service loan forgiveness should not and cannot choose that extended repayment term because payments made under that term do not count towards public service loan forgiveness. And remember, we said at the beginning, you have to make 120 qualified loan payments on your student loans to get loan forgiveness. And so when you consolidate into Federal Direct in order to take advantage of public service loan forgiveness, it will be necessary also to request one of these income repayment plans. Income contingent repayment now, and after July 1st, income-based repayment will be the right plan for most typical law graduates in public service.
And if you did that, do qualifying payments that you make have to be consecutive?
No, they don't. You can make some payments that count and then, for example, leave public service for a while, say to raise a child, and then enter the workforce again and start back up making qualifying payments. They don't have to be consecutive. But if you leave, say, leave qualifying employment for other high-paying employment, for example, to go work at a private law firm, you will still need to make payments on your student loans. So even if you later go back into public service and resume making qualifying payments, you will have at that point diminished the total amount of forgiveness that you could end up getting at the end of the term.
Okay, and what tax consequences should people be thinking about?
Well, for a while that was an unanswered question, but I'm delighted to report that we have confirmation from the Department of Treasury that the loan forgiveness under this public service loan forgiveness program will not be taxable as income to the recipients. That was something we were concerned about for some time, but the Department of Treasury has accepted the position that I and other attorneys were arguing, that this in fact was not taxable under current law, and so folks are all set. They do need to think about the joint or separate filing as married peoples and all the consequences related to that.
Okay. And how does the public And how does public service loan forgiveness work with other loan repayment assistance programs?
Well, there are a lot of, for example, law schools that have their own loan repayment assistance programs. I know Washington College of Law is one of them. And in general, those programs are designed so that the benefits people receive are not taxable as income to the recipients of that money under those law school programs. And so they won't actually have any impact on public service loan forgiveness. There's nothing in the College Cost Reduction and Access Act that says that you can't benefit from both the federal loan forgiveness and other loan repayment assistance programs. But some of us are also lucky to work for employers that have loan repayment assistance programs. For example, Equal Justice Works has a program for its staff. So I receive some assistance with my student loans from my employer. But that counts as part of my salary when I fill out my tax forms. So that will influence the amount that I'm required to pay under income-based repayment and ultimately diminish my amount of loan forgiveness, but only by a little bit. So the short answer is you can get benefits from more than one program.
Great. And what other debt relief options should we know about?
Well, people may have heard recently about the Higher Education Opportunity Act, and there are a couple of new things for public service lawyers in that legislation. People have heard sometimes of the John R. Justice Prosecutors and Defenders Act. There is a parallel civil legal aid program, but none of these programs in the new legislation are currently funded. So I want to make people aware of them so that they can keep an eye out for them and, you know, continue to learn more about them as we try to get them funded, but also just to really bear in mind that we don't know a lot about them yet. There aren't any regulations, and there isn't any money for those programs right now.
Okay, and where can we get more information?
Well, there's lots and lots of information on our website at www.equaljusticeworks.org. I especially recommend that people download the checklist for public service loan forgiveness. And we've also got tons of information about law school, state-based, employer-based loan repayment assistance programs, and all kinds of good stuff that might help people out.
Well, great. Thank you very much, Heather. After seeing your bio, I was very impressed, and it's been an honor to talk with you. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Ezra.